ever get the feeling that everything's completely fucked up?
Oh, I don't know. Is it that we collectively thought Steve Jobs was a great man, even when we knew he made billions off the backs of children? Or maybe it's that it feels like all our heroes are counterfeit. The world itself's just one big hoax. Spamming each other with our running commentary bullshit, masquerading as insight, our social media faking as intimacy. Or is it that we voted for this? Not with our rigged elections, but with our things, our property, our money. I'm not saying anything new. We all know why we do this, not because Hunger Games books makes us happy, but because we want to be sedated. Because it's painful not to pretend. Because we're cowards.
And it is a good day. This is Mike and or Maltos reporting to you from the internet for Sunday, December the 18th, 2016. And you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by tuning in and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow along and check our facts by going to newsreel.ca. This is a free This is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk each and every Sunday afternoon at 1400 hours Pacific Time, that's 2 p.m. Pacific Time, or 1700 hours Eastern Time, which is 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We also record live every Thursday night at 1730 hours Pacific or 2030 hours Eastern Time on Mumble, except for this week because this is the first time in a while I've done this. And yeah, I just kind of, whatever. If you go to the newsreel.ca website, just click on the participate tab at the top of the page, and from there you'll find the instructions for getting on the Mumble server. And I should probably download Mumble again because I've gone through a few machines and reformats and stuff since I've last done this. So I'm assuming it's still up and running, the server. It was a month or so ago anyways when I last checked. With us tonight are nobody, because, like I said before, I am not broadcasting through Mumble right now, because, screw all of you guys and gals, whatever. So it has been, how many months? It was August when we last did an episode 70, August 21st or something like that. I should probably, you know this before I go on the air, but I don't, so, you know, whatever. But yeah, so August, December, so that's 4 months. That's a quarter of a year. Things have changed, as I said in the last show. Sean is no longer, or Circuit Zero, or whatever his name is. You know, the guy goes by 85 different aliases. He is no longer on Newsreel. He has gone on to do his own stuff, work, and all that fun crap, so at school, we wish him luck in all of his endeavors and whatnot. And when I say we, I mean me, because it's just me now, little bastard. speaking of Sean, actually, let's go into stuff for the last few months here first. Okay, what have I been doing the last few months? Work. Nothing but work. I've learned a lot of things, which is good. If I'm finally learning something after being out of school for like 4 years. So this is awesome. I'd like to say moving up in the company, but that kind of hasn't really happened yet, because I mean, 4 months. It's only 4 months. It feels like a shit ton longer than 4 months. It really does. It feels like maybe 4 years already. So yeah, it's going good. The company's really good. They kind of treat me like family there, which is a bit different from what I'm used to. But it's pretty cool. I'm making friends and all that crap, I guess. I don't know, it's really friends, they're acquaintances, but, you know, whatever, they're good people, for the most part, anyways. What else? Still in the same place, I'm in Richmond. All that fun stuff, which is part of the Vancouver area, so yay! Yeah, that's really about it. Figured I'd do one last episode for the end of this year, because, you know, just to give a bit of a sit rep on what's going on, I am planning on getting back into doing Newsreel regularly, at least preferably once a week with the normal schedule. maybe every 2 weeks at the worst, right? Like, I want to keep doing this. This is a project that Sean and I and whatnot, we've wanted to do this for a while and all that stuff. And like I said before, I'm going to get at least 100 episodes in. And yeah. So, talk about other things. Sean, I just got something in the mail from him a few days ago. And I'm actually wearing it right now. He sent me a newsreel shirt with the same logo that we have on the website, the radio tower. So it's pretty cool. I guess a few other guys got them. I guess there's only six of them made on the planet. So really cool, really high quality shirt, high quality printing and whatnot. I'm very happy with that. He also sent me some of the stickers of my own design, which was kind of cool. And I had actually gotten, so I did a test run with another company out of Ontario for stickers, and I got them about a week before. And mine weren't full size or anything, they're just small, so I'm just putting them on smaller things. And they're vinyl and whatnot, same as Sean's, but Sean's are nicer quality. So, and they're big. I mean, those are probably, how big are these? Maybe about 4 inches across. Or five, I don't know. I'm not a ruler or a measuring tape, and I don't have one right now where I am. So they're big stickers. So that's very cool, and that's just awesome. I was happy to get those from. So I sent them a big thank you a few days ago when I got all that stuff. So that's very cool. Other than that, nothing else has really happened. I do need to apologize for my audio quality. I noticed this on the last time I did an episode, episode 70 as well, and right now, is that I am running a headset. And for some magical reason, I don't know if it's just Audacity, which is what I'm using to record, or if it's maybe the headset itself, I'm noticing that it's the waveform or whatever it is hitting a noticeable wall. You can only go so, you can yell into this thing and it goes boom. It kind of plateaus. Like, you can see where it's smashing up against an invisible wall. If you know what I mean. So, it might just be some configuration issue. Audacity has changed in the last 6 months or so, anyways, I've noticed. So, it might just be that. It could be the fact that I'm not using a proper microphone. I'm using a headset. So, yeah, I'm sorry. So yes, very sorry for that. Hopefully things work out fine. And got a little bit of feedback from, it's not really feedback, I guess. It's more like a query. And I am honestly not too sure if this is his or hers call sign, alias, whatever. But we're going to just go with calling them Direct Current. Probably is their name, but I'm not sure because there's nothing on their email. But all it says here is Newsreel on hiatus or is it kaput? Well, if you're listening to this, it's not kaput. It was on an unofficial hiatus, which really sucked. I'm very sorry for that. I gave no warning. I said I'd be back the next week and, you know, we'll do some time travel until I guess it is next week. But yeah, 4 months later. Sorry. But Direct Current, yes, we the show is back on. Hopefully, after the holidays, I'll be able to probably maybe a week or two into January, I'll be getting episode 72 out, hopefully, because, you know, gotta get back into having to work and all that fun stuff and traveling and all that fun crap. So, yeah. So, that's all for that stuff. So, let's push all that stuff aside. Oh, hey, Trump won, so that's kind of interesting. And a whole bunch of other crap happened. So, yay! Or not yay, depending on what side of the fence you sit on for that. I could really give a shit less, even though I probably should, but I don't, because they're all pretty much the same. But let's get into the news. So in our first, crap, there we go. Sorry, as we all know, I am completely disorganized when it comes to this. And this is going to be a very short episode this week, so I only got four news articles, because this is just a quick thing. So, in Pass the Blame Around news, it might actually be a good idea to have these links open as well. I'm very sorry about that. Yes, insert elevator music here, because as Maltos waste everybody's time. blah, blah, blah. Here we go. And pass the blame around news. U.S. hacking claims. Obama told Putin or whatever his name is to cut it out, quote unquote. There's a video there. And I just had some music start playing in my ear. There we go. Something else loaded up and that was closed. President Barack Obama has said that he ordered Russia's Vladimir Putin to cut it out in a conversation about email hacking ahead of the U.S. election. Implying that the Russian president knew about the hacks, Mr. Obama said, not much happens in Russia without Vladimir Putin. Putin, whatever your name is. The president said he had warned Mr. Putin of serious consequences at a summit in September. A month later, the U.S. accused Russia of meddling in the democratic process, in its democratic process. The president has promised a proportional response to the hacking of the Democratic Party and of emails belonging to defeated presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman. He appeared to suggest that the U.S. could go on the defensive with its own cyber muscle, stating, whatever they do to us, we can potentially do to them. Mr. Obama's comments came during his last news conference of the year. Insert picture of the handsome Mr. Putin. The president did not criticize his successor, Republican Donald Trump, by name, but said that some Republicans were failing to acknowledge the seriousness of Russia's involvement in the U.S. election. He also expressed bewilderment over GOP supporters who say they approve of Mr. Putin, declaring Ronald Reagan would roll over in his grave, and honestly, who gives a shit? Former president, whatever, they're not here, fuck them. The president urged Mr. Trump to back a bipartisan investigation into Russian cyber intrusions. Earlier this week, Donald Trump poured scorn on U.S. intelligence claims that Russian hackers helped swing the election in his favor, calling them ridiculous and politically motivated. He tweeted, "Can you imagine if the election results were the opposite and we tried to play the Russia CIA card? It would be called conspiracy theory." CIA Director John Brennan told employees on December 16th that the FBI agrees with the CIA's conclusion that Russia's goal was to help Mr. Trump win. The Kremlin denies U.S. claims that Russia hacked official emails and has called them indecent. And here's a quote from Russia or the Kremlin. They need to either stop talking about this or finally present some sort of proof, Putin's spokesman said. Putin's personal beef. The Kremlin's response came as Mrs. Clinton attributed her election defeat to Russian hacking for the first time. Yes, if you don't win the election, it's gotta be somebody else pulling the strings, or people just don't like you or the normal status quo. She told party donors that President Putin had a quote-unquote personal beef. Yes, a personal beef against her, describing Russia's parliamentary elections 5 years ago as rigged. She also cited the release of a letter by FBI Director James Comey, whatever your name is, as having lost her close races in key states. Insert picture of Devil Woman herself, Hillary Clinton. Mr. Comey made headlines when he announced a new inquiry into Mrs. Clinton's email server 11 days before the presidential election. The matter was dropped 2 days before Americans voted. The FBI had previously concluded that Mrs. Clinton had been extremely careless, over her use of a private email server while Secretary of State, but there were no grounds for any charges. Although at the same time, you definitely should because you're a fucking retard. Or she's a fucking retard, not you, the listeners. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to call you fucking retards. My bad. The FBI had previously concluded... I already read that paragraph. Next one. The New York Times said Mrs. Clinton's comments were her first on the subject since widespread reports of the hacking surfaced before the election. Putin publicly blamed me for the outpouring of outrage by his own people, and that is the direct line between what he said back then and what he did in this election, Mrs. Clinton said, quoted by the Times. This is not just an attack on me and my campaign, although that may have added fuel to it. This is an attack against our country. Our country. They're attacking our country. We are well beyond normal political concerns here. This is about the integrity of our democracy and the security of our nation. I call bullshit on that. What was in the hacked emails? This bald guy, which apparently is the former head of the CIA General Michael Hayden. There's a video there, so click on that if you want to see it. So in the hacked emails, there were more than 19,000 internal Democratic National Committee emails published by WikiLeaks on July 22nd. There's a link there for that. It actually goes right to the WikiLeaks.org page. Appearing to show party officials tried to thwart the campaign of Mrs. Clinton's rival, Bernie Sanders. Okay, so she's trying to, you know, obviously sway that, or she was trying to sway that, and... Oh! It's bad! Russia did... Yeah, but what Russia did wasn't exactly bad, because you're just an asshole, and you nobody would have known about it. So, whatever. WikiLeaks published swaths of emails in October and November from the account of Mrs. Clinton's campaign boss, Joe Podesta. And among the most damaging revelations were suggestions that donors to the Clinton Foundation gained special access to former President Bill Clinton, and that Mrs. Clinton had maintained a closer relationship with Wall Street bankers that she had admitted on the campaign trail. And that kind of extends into her having that big meeting with people and saying this and that when she wasn't going to say that. And I guess there's another link there, 18 revelations from WikiLeaks emails at the bottom, so you can click on that. So yes, I mean, when in doubt and you lose the election, just blame somebody else. In this case, you're, a political rival. It's not really a political rival. It kind of is, but it kind of isn't. You know, Russia and the United States. Sure. Why don't you just blame it on the enemy? Makes sense. Could they have done it? Yes. Did they do it? Maybe. Does it fucking matter? Yes, it actually does matter. Again, because of the fact that she's an asshole, Hillary Clinton. And she was covering shit up. And she was lying. Donald Trump, yeah, I'm sure he's lied about shit too. But, you know. Whatever. Make up your own decision. Look into it more. Yay. That's all I have for that one. So, into the next news story. In tech news. Very, very original title there. Graphene and Silly Putty. Yes, Silly Putty. Make sensors that can detect heart rate and spider footsteps. And this was sent in by Exec. Thank you, Exec, for this one. And this is from December 9th, it looks like. And there's a video at the top, which is screwing me up when I go down. For some reason, on the page, it chops the top paragraph off. That's kind of stupid. But let's continue on with it. Silly Putty is not just a kid's toy, especially if you add graphene to it. The material is already a very soft plastic, and this page just reloaded. What the fuck? Okay, that's pissing me off. Sorry, this is just fucky. Blah, blah, blah. The material is already a very soft plastic and behaves like both a liquid and a solid, and when mixed with the conductive atom-thick sheet form of carbon, otherwise known as graphene, the compound becomes a super-sensitive sensor that can track your heart rate through your skin and can even detect the spider's itty-bitty tiny little footsteps. Researchers from Trinity College Dublin discovered that the electrical resistance of G-Putty, that's what they're calling it, the name that they gave to Silly Putty infused with graphene, was extremely sensitive to even minimal deformations and pressures, hundreds of times more sensitive than normal sensors. Jonathan Coleman, who led the research, said in a statement, "When we added the graphene to the Silly Putty, it caused it to conduct electricity, but in a very unusual way. The electrical resistance of the G-Putty was very sensitive to deformation, with the resistance increasing sharply on even the slightest strain or impact. Unusually, the resistance slowly returned to its original value as the putty self-healed over time. The sensitive property of the material has many possible applications, especially for a wide range of medical devices. For instance, Coleman said that it could be used to measure blood pressure continuously with ease, a process which is quite complicated with current technology." Yeah, you have to have, like, what's it, that little finger thing when you go into the hospital, sitting in the hospital bed, there's like an infrared sensor. It kind of picks up your, I don't know if that does your blood pressure though, I think it's just your pulse. But, you know, blood pressure, you stick your arm into that big cuff and they inflate it, yeah, it's kind of a pain in the ass. Also, I think that would probably do something bad to your circulation because it cuts your circulation off, which is how it gets your blood pressure. Blah, 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 blah. A study detailing the research on G-Putty and its findings was published Friday in the journal Science. under the name, sorry, under the title Sensitive Electromechanical Sensors Using Viscoelastic. Sorry, losing my voice. Sorry. Using Viscoelastic Graphene Polymer Nano Composites. Big title. Sorry, I had to get a drink there. So yeah, check it out. So essentially, if you check the video out, it goes pretty much over, it gives you more detail, I guess, a little bit more than what I just gave. But it shows that you can, like, I guess, I don't know how that they connect it, but they, you know, he puts it on his skin, and it gets, boom, 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 and it shows your blood pressure and your heart rate and all that fun stuff. So very cool. Check it out. Definitely. And to the next news article we have, in Kit Left Adrift News. China to return seized U.S. underwater drone, Pentagon says. The Pentagon says that it has secured an understanding, quote-unquote, secured an understanding with China that it will return an underwater drone seized in the South China Sea. China captured the U.S. vessel. Right. Now, I have to say something about this, because when I first saw this news story a day or two ago on the way into work, it said, oh, yeah, China just captured a U.S. vessel, like a U.S. naval vessel. I'm like, what? What the hell? So I look into it, of course, and it's just like, oh, yeah, it caught a U.S. naval vessel. It's not a U.S. naval vessel. It's essentially it's an underwater, it's a drone, damn it. It's not a UAV, it's a UUV, apparently. I think it's probably smaller than, okay, let's say it's the size of a torpedo. It's like a torpedo with wings. This is essentially what this thing looks like. It's painted bright yellow. It's not a vessel. It's a drone. It's a robot. Okay? That's not a vessel. With that out of the way, China captured the U.S. vessel, or the U.S. drone, in international waters on Thursday. It has not explained why and has accused the U.S. of hyping up the incident. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump accused the Chinese of stealing. I don't know why it's in quotes, but whatever. Quote-unquote, we should tell China that we don't want the drone that they stole back. Let them keep it, he tweeted. The incident is among the most serious military confrontations between the two powers for decades. The Pentagon said that the drone, known as an unmanned underwater vehicle, or UUV, was being used to carry out scientific research at the time that it was captured and demanded its immediate return. It warned China not to repeat such a move in the future, because it's bad. Bad. Bad people over there, according to the United States. But a spokesman said later on Saturday, that is today, and yesterday for you guys, that an agreement had been reached. Through direct engagement with Chinese authorities, we have secured an understanding that the Chinese will return the UUV to the United States, Pentagon spokesman Peter Cook said in a statement. The Chinese Defense Ministry said the vessel would be returned to in an appropriate manner. It is not clear when this might happen. It criticized the earlier U.S. response, calling it inappropriate and unhelpful. Insert Donald Trump Twitter quote there. Another one, China steals U.S. Navy research drone in international waters, rips it out of water, and takes it to China in unprecedented act. Donald Trump, you need to learn how to write, because unprecedented is not spelled with the word president in it. Good job. Mr. Trump had already inflamed the Chinese by speaking on the phone earlier this month with the leader of Taiwan, which is a big no-no apparently, breaking a long-standing U.S. practice on the China-Taiwan dispute, which who gives a fuck. For the earlier tweet accusing the Chinese of stealing, he drew criticism online for misspelling the word unprecedented. Unprecedented, yes. Just like I did. Whatever, I guess everybody else beat into the chase. Sorry. The latest in a series of errors in his Twitter posts. He has now corrected the entry. Whatever. Who cares? It's whatever. A Chinese Navy, and there's a map of where, roughly the approximate location of where the drone, not the vessel, was seized in the South China Sea. Right near the Philippines, actually. Cool. A Chinese Navy ship seized the unmanned drone 92 kilometers or 57 miles northwest of Subic Bay near the Philippines in the South China Sea on Thursday. The craft was retrieved and examined to maintain the safety of passing vessels, China's defense ministry said in the statement. The U.S. said that the unmanned drone was being operated by civilian contractors and was about to be retrieved by the USNS Bowditch, an oceanographic research ship. See, a ship is a vessel, a drone is not a vessel. Difference. It made a formal diplomatic complaint to China over the incident. And actually, I have to put this in. I don't know if it's further in the article or not. But when I first saw this yesterday morning or whatever on the train, they were saying that, yeah, the Bowditch was, you know, pulling up along it. And then all of a sudden, the Chinese vessel came up out of nowhere and with like 50 meters or 500 meters or 15 or meters, whatever, away from each other or feet or something like that. And they dropped a small boat in the water with the team and went over. The team went over, grabbed it out of the water, because it's man-portable. It's about maybe 2 meters in length. And they just put it in the boat and went back to the Chinese ship and they took off. Apparently that's how it happened, but I don't know if they're even reporting that anymore. But yeah, balls of steel for those guys. Although it's not like they're going up against a warship. Do they even have a warship still? Whatever. Senator Ben Cardin, the top Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, called the seizure a remarkably brazen violation of international law, while senior Republican Senator John McCain said the U.S. should not tolerate such outrageous conduct. Wow, really? They just took a... whatever. Like, really? It's not like they stole your boat. Like, oh yeah, we're gonna just, you know, hijack your aircraft carrier. Not like they could. Well, maybe they could. But, like, that's kind of something. That's a big thing, right? It's like a remote-controlled plane, but just underwater. They stole your drone. Get over yourself. Observer said to see, and it's not like... let me cut myself off here. It's not like they don't have that same tech. Or something similar to it. Or that they wouldn't develop that in the first place. I mean, all the parts for that friggin' American-made design are probably made in China. So... you know, somebody's calling me on my phone. I'm hanging up on them right now. There we go. Aha! But yeah, like, what the hell? Where did I leave off with this here? Observer said the seizure was the most significant military incident between the two countries since a 2001 mid-air collision between a U.S. Navy surveillance aircraft and a Chinese fighter jet that led to the death of a Chinese pilot. It will likely add to U.S. concerns about the growing military buildup by China in the South China Sea. China has claimed territorial rights over parts of the region, but its claims are disputed. It is not clear if China claims that territory in which the drone was seized. A U.S. think tank reported this week that aerial imagery shows that China, link for that there, has installed weaponry along seven artificial islands that they have built at sea despite U.S. protests. I believe that's in international waters or disputed waters, and that's what they're talking about there with that. So, there's a video at the bottom, I guess, some guy checking out Mischief Reef, which is, I guess, one of the bases or islands that the Chinese built in the South China Sea. Definitely take a look at that. And in our last article for the day, in What the Fuck News. Now, this one's a little bit local for this area, but I've seen it like in the BBC and all that stuff. They're just talking about it all over the place. And so I have to comment on it because, you know, I have to get my opinion out. And people are going to hate it. And people are probably going to think I'm a monster. But I don't give a shit because it's my opinion. So fuck off. So, deadliest drug day. 9 die in Vancouver. 13 in total across all of British Columbia from overdoses overnight on Thursday. Yes, insert picture of people helping a dude out that drug himself up on the sidewalk. Vancouver officials issued a plea to the provincial government Friday for more addiction treatment funding after BC faced the deadliest day yet of its drug overdose crisis, with 13 people dying on Thursday. I'm going to take a quick drink of water here. Good stuff, that water. Anyways. On Friday, the BC Coroner's Service issued an urgent warning to drug users, particularly those in Vancouver's downtown east side, to take extra precautions after an unprecedented number of fatalities were reported in the province. In just one day, 9 people died in Vancouver. 1 in Burnaby, which is literally right beside Vancouver. Those two cities actually touch each other. They're separated by a road. 2 in the Fraser Health region, which is, I'm assuming, further inland. And another in northern BC, according to the coroner's service. So probably Prince George. We are not sure what has caused this very distressing spike in fatalities, Chief Coroner Lisa LaPointe said in a statement. It will take detailed toxicology testing and further investigation to try to determine that. Well, they injected themselves or they took something orally or whatever. Higher quantities than they should have and they died. Do you really need a toxicological examination for that? You know how they died. They just took too much. Took too much, man. In the first 10 months of 2016, 622 people died of illicit drug overdose in British Columbia. The toxic synthetic opioid, hoping I'm saying opioid right, I think I am, fentanyl, was detected in about 60% of cases. Recently, carfentanil, a lethal elephant tranquilizer, has turned up in the illicit drug supply. How the fuck are they getting elephant tranquilizer? Whatever, that's besides the point. Following news of the deaths, Vancouver Chief Constable Adam Palmer, flanked by fire and health officials as well as Vancouver Mayor Gregor Robinson, called on the provincial government to fund treatment on demand. This is why they're trying to increase property taxes now, I've seen within the last few days in the news. They're trying to ramp that up so they can help everybody else. And I'll get to that in a second here. Called on the provincial government to fund treatment on demand. We're seeing a record number of overdoses in neighborhoods all over Vancouver, and it's getting worse, said Palmer, noting that 8 of the 9 who died in the city were in the downtown east side. The fentanyl crisis is bringing a new level of urgency to address the lack of detox and treatment options available to people. We need a long-term strategy to help people in crisis, he said. Palmer said gaps in the province's treatment system are failing drug users who are ready to overcome their addiction. He said people are asking first responders and other service providers in the city for help with finding treatment, but it's not always available. And those without a recovery plan after detoxing are at a higher risk of relapse. When somebody is ready, they are going to get off drugs, he said. We need to help them right away because they are at risk of dying if we don't help them. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that in a second too. Robertson said that the city is grateful for added harm reduction measures recently introduced by the provincial government, but he said that addictions treatment in BC has been woefully inadequate for many years now, and that it's not addressing the root causes, quote unquote, root causes of the crisis, will not allow people to heal. Let me see how far down this goes. Goes down pretty far. It's going to read the whole thing. I don't care. We're seeing the impacts of that now on our streets, he said. We cannot continue to indefinitely react to this crisis and purely appeal to the harm reduction piece. The mayor called upon the BC government to make significant upstream investments in treatment and detox to help Vancouver's 1,300 illicit opioid users break the cycle of addiction and avoid death. It's desperate times in Vancouver. As my voice cracks again, sorry guys. It's desperate times in Vancouver, and it's hard to see any silver lining right now, but we don't seem to have hit rock bottom with the number of people dying on any given day from an overdose, he said. Health Minister Terry Lake, I gotta get my other thing of water here because my throat is really bad right now. Health Minister Terry Lake and Minister of Public Safety Mike Morris issued a statement Friday acknowledging the sense of urgency and crisis being felt in Vancouver. Another quick drink, sorry guys. They said the province they said the province takes the situation very seriously, citing Provincial Health Officer Dr. Perry Kendall's declaration of a public health emergency in April and Clark's establishment of a joint task force to bolster the province's response. The overdose crisis is a very complex issue involving many social factors, including housing, public safety, policing, border control, because, you know, half an hour from the border, public health, harm reduction, and addiction and recovery treatment, as well as legislation that crosses many jurisdictional boundaries. They said, there's no quick and easy solution, but we are taking decisive action across all sectors to do all that we can to respond and save lives. The minister said more than $43 million so far has been earmarked to address the crisis, which has funded important harm reduction measures, such as expanded access to the overdose reversing drug naloxone? I'm probably messing that up. Overdose prevention sites and the deployment of the mobile medical unit to the downtown east side. And the mobile medical unit actually looks pretty sexy. Wow. And it's a picture of it right there. There's also significant work taking place on the longer-term solutions required to ensure that we have a more coordinated and accessible system of care for addictions treatment, they said. We can keep going down here and blah, 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 because it talks about different people and different examples of people and all this fun stuff. Sorry, another drink. Holy crap, my throat is really dry. Because it's so cold and dry here in Vancouver recently. But that's sarcasm, because it's not. So I'm going to give my two cents on this, because, and it's, people are going to be mad at me for saying this, but I'm going to have to say that this is natural selection in action. Oh, Maltos, Mike, whatever, that sucks, because they're people too. Yes, they're people. They made a choice at some point in their life to start doing drugs. Well, marijuana's drugs, supposedly, and all that stuff, too, technically. But, like, when you get into, like, opioids and hard stuff like that, right, you're constantly making it, this other stuff is not good enough for me, I need something stronger. Oh, well, have you heard about this? Oh, no, I haven't. Well, can I have some? Yeah, sure, it's like an alternative tranquilizer or whatever. Fentanyl is just a regular thing for pain that you really can't get rid of. So I guess it is better than regular painkillers, is what it is. It's super painkillers. Also, the fact it doesn't just kill the pain, it kills you if you take too much of it. But the thing is, I'm going to say probably 97% of people who are addicted know what they're doing, know what they're taking when they first start it. I'm going to say, I'm not a doctor or anything else like that. Maybe my worldview is kind of sheltered. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. But they at one time in the past, they made the decision to get into that stuff at one point in time or another. It sucks, but if you die, it's natural selection in action. Survival of the fittest. If you're weak, you die. Oh, but Mike, we're human beings. We all deserve to live. Yes, we do. We do. But we cannot deny the fact that human beings are not any different than animals. We just have a bit of a different social structure, really, and we can build stuff and go into space and all the fun stuff. And we can think and have philosophical arguments and numerous other things, which, whatever, right? We're able to make our own decisions, though, and that's the key, the base thing here, is that we all have the opportunity to make a decision in our life. Like, okay, well, for this, for instance, take this. Somebody on New Year's Eve, like at nighttime, come back from party, they're drunk, they're in a car, they shouldn't be, but they are, run a red light, don't run a red light, they could be on a straight road and they just go sideways and run over a sidewalk, and conversely, anybody's on the sidewalk, kill them, probably kill themselves too, if you, let's say, hit a tree or something like that. Yeah, it sucks, yeah, they need help, but, it's, they at one time made a decision to start drinking. Not saying drinking's bad. I'm not saying that at all. Same as smoking's not bad. Technically, doing drugs isn't bad. If you want to do it, fine, do it. But at the same time, if you want to do that stuff, you're making a conscious decision, because it's stuff that is known to affect you. And we all know this from a young age. If you don't know that you're going to get drunk on alcohol by the time you're 10, I mean, you hear it, you see it, bits and things, news, school, whatever. You know, you get information on this stuff one way or another, and you're like, oh, I'm going to do this. You know, it's, what are the consequences? You just got drunk one day and jumped in your car and crashed into a tree and you died. Same thing with the drugs. Same thing with smoking. Smoking's bad. Smoking gives you lung cancer, supposedly, and all that stuff. And, you know, you look really bad, and your skin's all leathered and all that stuff. You still make a decision to pick up the cigarette every day. Oh, but it's an addiction. Yes, it is an addiction. But, yeah, I don't know. See, that's the thing. It kind of runs into me going like, yes, it's an addiction, but you can choose not to be addicted. Oh, but maltose, you can't, because once you're addicted. Yes, I know. And that's where it gets into a loop, where I can say this, and then you can say that, and then I can say this, and it just loops. So, we're both right, or all right, but we're all wrong. So I'm just going to shut up about this now, because so essentially what I'm saying is it is natural selection in action. And I've just completely shot myself in the foot, but I don't give a fuck. Because, you know, I'm fucking Maltose Kincaid, so whatever. But that's all I have for that. You can continue reading the rest of it there. It talks about some people and stuff like that. So, other than the news, we have a weekly hack this week. Just one. And it's called, or titled, Is Your Computer Connecting to Websites Without Your Knowledge? Thank you to Exec for that. For some reason, I don't have that open either, so I'm just going to open up real quick. Here we go. It says, if you're worried that some programs on your PC are secretly making connections to websites in the background, here's a quick tip that uses a simple DOS command to detect and prevent such suspicious activity. Number one, type CMD in your Windows run box. Number two, type a whole bunch of stuff, netsat v5, greater than symbol, activity.txt, and press enter after, say, 2 minutes. Press control C. And then number three, type activity.txt on the command line to open the log file in Notepad or your default text editor. Text file will have a log of all processes that have made a connection to the internet in the last 2 minutes. It will also show which process connected to which website in this time, and not just web browsers like Internet Explorer or Opera or Firefox or whatever. The log will also show your instant messaging clients, for those who are still using IM, download managers, email programs, or any software that requires a net connection. Scroll through the activity.txt file and look for any process names or website addresses that you are not aware of. If you track one, go to the Task Manager or Process Explorer and to find the location of the executable on your computer, and then eliminate it. So it's very good handy thing to have. Definitely do that if you have any suspicions. And in Cyberpunk Kit, we've got one item here. It's the Inner City Defense Pencil. It's essentially a mechanical pencil. Instead of having lead in it, it's got a solid steel bar, I guess. It's sharpened to a needle point. So, you know, if somebody fucks around with you in the alley, you bust out your mechanical pencil and you run them through the eye or anywhere else. So it's a very interesting concept. So I guess they're like 36 or 40 bucks or something like that. I got a link for where the company actually makes it. And it didn't have a picture that linked to the right thing. It linked to some holiday wreath, which is kind of weird for that. But whatever. There's a link there to US Tactical Supply, so you can get a better picture of it. Into Rec Media, we have... I don't know what the hell the name of this was called. Exec sent me this as well. And it was in a different language. So I found an English version of it, the original without the subtitles. And it was called, like, Love the Police compilation or something like that. So, the guy who actually is talking in this video, his name is, I don't know, it's Sivich. It's Charles Bitch or whatever his name is. So, definitely take a look at that. It's 8 minutes long. It's pretty cool. But definitely take a look at that. Thank you to Exec. Thank you to Exec for that one again. And I need to remember for the next episode to bring more water, because I just went through all my water. Actually, I got a little bit left here. One more quick sip. Yeah, right before the end of the episode. Yeah. Okay, now where's my script? Damn it. So, that's all I have for you this week, but don't worry. I'll be back again next week to make sure... Well, not next week. It'll be like next year. Or whatever. Sometime. Sometime in January 2017. To make sure that you get the news that you need to survive. This has been a free transmission brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. Please distribute this media in any way that you can. A special thanks goes out to Kevin as a Geek for the use of his Murmur server, and the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have any information you'd like to send us, you can reach us at info@newsreel.ca or by clicking on the Contact Us tab on newsreel.ca. If you like the music in the background, please be sure to check out Rant Media. Yes, all of Rant Media. Just check it all out. No, it's going to be Rant Radio Industrial, which is still Rant Media, because I can't think of anything else to put in right now, and that's easiest for me to do. Also, our outro song for the week is going to be Merry Christmas, Everyone, by Patient Zero. And until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Children playing, having fun. It's a season of love and understanding. Merry Christmas, everyone. Time for parties and celebration. People dancing all night long. Time for presents and exchanging kisses.
Shelter.